Welcome to the Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore. It is Friday, October the 29th, 2021. On this edition of the Politocrat, an ode to Representative Maxine Waters. I will explain why this must happen, and it will, right after this. Welcome back. Dear listener, thank you very much and a very happy Friday to you on this almost end of the month. We are right near the end of October. Just a couple more days to go until this month is done. My goodness gracious me, October has vanished. And you turn around and you think about the fact that October, which has 31 days in it, seemed like it lasted only five. October now is almost a thing of the past. And on this Friday, I do hope you are well, dear listener, and I hope that this Friday has gone the way you would like it to, in your favor. Things hopefully are looking up for you. There are things that are going on for you that are actually going in the right direction for you, and that you're healthy, and that you are here in the world, and that you have a degree of happiness in your life to the extent that you do. Because happiness is a term that's what? Relative, I guess? I don't know. Is it? I don't know. But there's always ups and downs in life. And so, as I do say, I hope you are well. And if things aren't going your way right now, I believe that they will start to turn around for you. And just know that you've got people around the globe who do care and who do care about you. And I'm someone who cares about you. And I do thank you very much, as always, for lending your ear and your time to this podcast and to yours truly in this manner, because this is, again, this is something that you could be doing something else. You could be doing something that's, I'm sure, is far more important and immediate in your life, but you choose to spend a period of time in your life listening to this podcast. And so I do greatly appreciate that, and always, never, ever do I ever take anyone who listens to this podcast for granted. Even if you didn't listen to it, I wouldn't take you for granted either. So thank you very much indeed on this Friday. Dear listener, thank you. And here we are. I'm going to be thanking someone else as well today. It's going to be Maxine Waters, the representative out of California's 43rd district. The Congresswoman has served for, I think, 35 years now or something like that. It's been at least 30 years that Congresswoman Maxine Waters has served the 43rd Congressional District of this state here in California, down in the Los Angeles area. I think Watts and the areas of Los Angeles there that she serves. And she has done, I think, a darn good job. The Democratic Congresswoman, I think, has been a mainstay and a champion and one of the consciences of the Congress. You know, everyone talked about John Lewis, our dearly departed brother, may he rest in eternal peace, as the conscience of the Congress. And I think he was. I also think, though, he had company. And he has company here on the planet Earth in Representative Maxine Waters, who is with us and is lively and is vigorous as she has ever been during any of the years that she has served United States Congress in that particular body, in the House of Representatives. Representative Waters has been a constant in advocating for the people. Her advocacy is second to none. And I really wish that I had, in this state of California, a congressperson like Maxine Waters. Maxine Waters has been there in the situation when the then CIA director, John Deutsch, had actually come into South Central Los Angeles, as it was called then, South Central LA, to apologize to the black community there for its role in dealing with drugs and things. And he claimed that they didn't do this intentionally and that they didn't do it, but he apologized. Well, how often do you have a CIA director coming into your district apologizing Because this investigation found, and it was Gary Webb of the San Jose Mercury News, and you know what happened to Gary Webb. And if you don't know what happened to Gary Webb, the intrepid investigative reporter out here in California, someone who had dedicated his life to pursuing truth. I talked about journalists these last couple of episodes. Yesterday's, I think the day before's episode, about how we need real serious journalists in this country. We need many more of them, and we don't have them in the U.S. corporate news media, especially on the cable television news side. Well, I'll tell you something. Gary Webb, who did not have a show on cable news, who did not have any big spotlight on him, did all the grunt work and the dirty work and the work of the truth. And he died for it. He was killed for it. And you need to go and, those of you who aren't aware of this, need to, I think, do an online search for Gary Webb. His last name is W-E-B-B as in Bravo, and his first name is the common spelling Gary, with only one R, not two. So you need to look at that. And by the way, a movie was done on him as well called Kill the Messenger, and it starred Jeremy Renner in the role of Gary Webb. But you need to really look up Gary Webb. I really do, because this is someone who, as a journalist that was willing, you know, this is, and journalism is a really dangerous job, as you know. Marie Colvin. I've talked about Marie Colvin. I've talked about a number of journalists over the years who have intrepidly and bravely gone to places where their lives are at risk. And even if they're not going to places where their lives are at risk, right wherever they work, whether it's in the United States or in the UK or wherever, the African continent, wherever they are based, they face all kinds of dangers. And we know about Marie Colvin. And if you don't know about Marie Colvin, last name C-O-L-V-I-N, I urge you to do an online search. And a number of other journalists. I just think of those two at the minute. But a film was done on her too, by the way. And Rosamund Pike played her in that particular film, the name of which escapes me at the minute. But you really do need to look up Marie Colvin. But the bottom line is that, you know, Gary Webb reported on all this stuff with the drugs and the CIA and its connections with funneling drugs into the Los Angeles area, into Los Angeles and into black communities. And at a hearing where CIA director at the time, John Deutsch, appeared, this is in 1991, if I remember correctly, during the last days of the George H.W. Bush administration, the Poppy Bush administration. Bush the Elder, as he's known. These are during the last days of, you know, the last year or two of his presidency. And John Deutsch, his CIA director, came in and he apologized to a room full of black folk in Watts in Los Angeles. And best of my memory, Congresswoman Maxine Waters was there at that hearing. She was part of the proceedings. Maxine Waters, now known affectionately as Auntie Maxine to the younger generation these days, has been a mainstay. She had been active in anti-apartheid efforts. She had been active. She was part of the delegation from the Congressional Black Caucus that went to visit and that also welcomed Nelson Mandela once he had been released from prison in 1990. I believe it was the following year, 1991, or it might have even been later on, 1994, when he made the tour to the U.S. and other places around the globe. And I remember very distinctly, Representative Waters was part of the delegation of the Congressional Black Caucus that met and welcomed Mr. Mandela. I think it may have been President Mandela at the time, because as you know, President Mandela, or Nelson Mandela, became the first, I think the first black man to be president of South Africa at the time. And this was within a year or two after he had been released as a political prisoner. He spent 27 years behind bars. Maxine Waters, Representative Waters, has been there. Of all the big issues, fighting for people in her community, fighting for people all across the country, fighting for the working class, fighting for a better middle class, fighting for the working poor, for the poor, fighting for everybody who has not been on the higher end of priorities, shall we say, in the United States government. Maxine Waters lost her sister last year to COVID-19. May have been earlier this year, but I believe it was last year. She's gone through a hell of a lot. And I have to say that Representative Waters, to me, and she's suffered a lot of slings and arrows, has been attacked by certain administrations in the past, has been, the target of death threats. I mean, not the only congressperson that has, obviously, but that's not the point. My focus is on one congressperson. And I think that Representative Waters should get a lot more credit than she does. I think that she should. Now, she also came out more further than anybody else in any part of the U.S. government, any one of the three branches of government, certainly not the judicial. I mean, no one there is going to say boo about what I'm about to say. But in terms of the legislative branch and the executive branch of the U.S. government, Maxine Waters, Representative Waters, was the first government official to start talking about the link between the previous guy in the White House and Vladimir Putin. She was on Twitter in the early part of 2017 on this, before anybody. I mean, she put it on her Twitter account and said, here are the links. And she put all the players and all of these people, indeed, based on the congressional investigations, the Senate Intelligence Committee investigation that came out with a gazillion page report last July, 2020, I should say, July of 2020. Massive report about this, like a 900 to 1,000 page, a gazillion page report. Richard Burr was the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee then. Senator Richard Burr, by the way, is a Republican who now, my goodness, he didn't get charged in the scandal with the stock situation. Remember in 2020, when several members of Congress were being looked at, in quote, including at the time, Senator from Georgia, you know who I'm talking about, who lost her seat, Kelly Loeffler. And she had lost her seat, and she lost it, of course, in the election there, the special election there in Georgia at the beginning of this year. Reverend Warnock there in Georgia. But the point is that she, Richard Burr, and a number of people in the House of Representatives, there was also people looking briefly at the Democratic Senator, Dianne Feinstein out of California, for the same things. But apparently that was not anything to really look at, because the investigation found that there was nothing untoward there. But certainly there were investigations and a look here and there, a looky here, a look-see when it came to Senator at the time, Kelly Loeffler, and when it came to Richard Burr. And the FBI were looking into Richard Burr. Both of these are Republicans, Burr and Loeffler. And the FBI concluded, no, nothing here. And he then had resigned his position as the chair of the committee. Now it comes out, apparently, that Burr has his hands in the cookie jar elsewhere. I'm not getting into that. That's not the issue. The whole circuitous route that I am taking here, dear listener, is to bring context to explain that before this investigation came out with its a gazillion page report in the summer of 2020 that found that Putin was actively involved in the 2016 presidential election. Before that report came out and named all of these players, the Kislyaks, the Sergei Kislyaks of the world, and obviously Michael Flynn, who then got what? He had sentence overturned or commuted or whatever it was, pardoned, whatever the heck it was. I forget all these people. But the bottom of all these criminals, but the Republican criminals that they are. But the bottom line is, Representative Maxine Waters had a freaking flow chart, basically, on her Twitter page. She still may have it pinned to her Twitter page at Rep Maxine Waters. And it has all the connections of all these people. It was in 2017 she posted that to Twitter. I think it was February of that year. So just a month after this guy got into office. Stole the office. Look, I know I've taken a lot of time here. But I thank you for sticking with me here. I'm going to be talking about Representative Maxine Waters some more. Because just yesterday, and I talked about this yesterday, but I didn't get to this particular part because I hadn't been aware of this. I had said to you, dear listener, because President Biden announced yesterday his Build Back Better agenda, which has come to an accord of sorts between Democrats and Republicans, and there is hope now this bill will get passed, certainly in the House. In the Senate, could be another story. But the bottom line is that I said to you, dear listener, that the House Budget Committee was going to be marking up the bill and having a conversation and discussion about the bill. And that's exactly what they did yesterday. And I am going to be playing you Congresswoman Maxine Waters as she spoke out during that Budget Committee markup. You will not want to miss this. And there is also a Republican House member named Patrick McHenry who also chimes in. And the two of them, Waters and McHenry, go back and forth. I'm not playing this for the spectacle of it. I know, because that's how it's going to sound to you. I am playing this because it needs to be played. I am playing this because it is yet another example of Congresswoman Maxine Waters standing up, speaking truth to power, and telling it like it is. Because that's the only way you can do this in politics. I know some people go, no, be nice, be diplomatic. No. These times are not ripe for being diplomatic when your rights are being stolen from you. When a woman's right to choose is being obliterated. You're not going to be polite and diplomatic about that. When your voting rights are being taken from you, are you going to be polite and diplomatic when you can't vote, when you don't have a say? Are you? These are not those times, dear listener. This is the same Congresswoman who stood up in 2001 on the floor of the House, the joint session, 20 years ago, and said, no, I contest these results of George W. Bush with this election because I know that there was fraud and there was voter suppression on the part of the Republican Party. And indeed there was. The Secretary of State of Florida at the time, under Jeb Bush, no less, who was then the Florida governor, the Secretary of State for Florida, Catherine Harris, ordered purges of black voters. Nearly 90,000 of them, nearly 90,000 black voters purged off the voting rolls during the summer of 2000. And surprise, surprise, it came down to Florida, didn't it? And that Supreme Court case, Bush v. Gore, horrible decision. And you know what happened then in that decision, don't you know? And in 2001, in the joint session in January of that year, 20 years ago, she stood up. She was one of a billion black politicians in the House that stood up there and said, I object. And look, I don't care if there's no senator signing and co-signing my objection. This election is not one that was won fairly and squarely. There's video of this on YouTube. There's video of this in C-SPAN. There's video of this in Michael Moore's documentary, Fahrenheit 9/11 from 2004, where in the opening 5 or 6 minutes of that documentary, you will see, among other black politicians, you will see Congresswoman Maxine Waters stand up and with the vice president at the time, Al Gore, serving as the president of the Senate. Tell him, look, this election that featured you as the presidential candidate was rigged. It was stolen. And it had been stolen. We all know that now. We all knew it then. At least many of us did. I certainly did. And I dare say you did too, dear listener. My point here is that Representative Maxine Waters has always stood up for what is right. She has always been on the right side of these issues. When it comes to the working class, when it comes to issues of voter integrity and system integrity, she's always been on the side of the little person. She's always championed them, and she's always spoken truth to power. I'm sure people will criticize any politician, including Representative Waters. I've got nothing negative at all or anything critical to say about her. I think she's done an excellent job here. And quite frankly, she should be Speaker of the House. That's my view. I've said this before. I've said this on social media before, at the Popcorn R-E-E-L on Twitter. I've said it before. I do think that she should be Speaker of the House. Now look, that is not going to happen now. Maxine Waters now, Representative Waters, is the chair of the Financial Services Committee. She's led ably there. She is also on the select subcommittee on the coronavirus crisis, dealing with the way the vaccine is not being properly administered in black and brown communities in the United States. Because don't forget, it's not just that there are some black folk and brown folk who may have some trepidation around taking these vaccines. It's mostly that the black folk and brown folk who have not yet taken this vaccine is that they haven't because the services are not being brought to their neighborhoods. They may not have the grocery stores in their neighborhoods that are doing the vaccine administering. The services need to come to the people. You can't tell people who are maybe not of the best financial means, not every black person's in this situation, of course, obviously not, but you can't tell people who have been historically and currently oppressed, oh, you have to go and come up here to this appointment and do this. Why don't you go to them? You're in a better position to come to them than you are the other way around. And that's what she deals with on that select subcommittee on the coronavirus crisis, among other things, among many other things. Maxine Waters works for the people. And yes, I've criticized politicians from any of these parties. But I also believe in touting people when they've done the right thing. I did that with President Biden yesterday. I said that the Build Back Better agenda, which he had unveiled during the campaign for president last year, is an important agenda. There always can be more and better things on it and things that can go further, but it is an important first step. It will be very important if this ever gets passed in both houses of the legislature, Congress, and in the Senate. This will be a very impactful bit of legislation that will benefit the vast majority of people in the United States for years and years to come. It'll benefit the country. It'll benefit the people. And I praise President Biden about that, because that is the thing, that's one of the biggest things he ran on, was Build Back Better. We all know that. If you've been paying half a bit of attention over the last year and a half, we know that. So the bottom line is that Congresswoman Maxine Waters, I think, has just been an absolute godsend. Someone who doesn't back down, someone who doesn't shrink, someone who doesn't stay silent. She will call people out. And, you know, this is what we need. We need more leadership like this. She's a leader. She calls people out. She doesn't play around. I want to see more politicians, in the Democratic Party doing the kinds of things that Maxine Waters does. Not just talking about them, but doing them, because she does do the things she talks about. Always have always loved Representative Waters. And I'm going to take a break right now. And when I come back from this break, I'm going to play this audio for you. You've got to hear this audio. Very important. I'll set it up after the break. But please stick with this. You're listening to the Politocrat Daily Podcast. I'm Omar Moore. I'll be right back. Dear listener, welcome back, and it's so great to have you here. Thank you very much for your continued support of the Politocrat Daily Podcast. Do not forget that you can right now subscribe to the Politocrat Daily Podcast YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and type in the Politocrat Daily Podcast, and the channel will pop up for you. And then hit that subscribe button, won't you please? It would be tremendously appreciated. And of course, the podcast itself. You're listening to it right now. So subscribe to it right now, won't you please? It's available on Apple and Spotify and Google and a number of other platforms wherever you get your podcasts, including actually Audible. You can even subscribe to it there. So please, make sure you do. It would be greatly appreciated. And finally, the Politocrat Daily Podcast online store. That's right, merchandise galore. Designed, all of it designed by yours truly, merchandise galore at the online store. That rhymes. I know it does. That's why you have to go to the Politocrat Daily Podcast online store. It's the-politocrat.myshopify.com. the-politocrat.myshopify.com. Please go now. Please go. And shop right now. Lots of items, hoodies, hats, T-shirts, everything, makes a great gift for this time of year. We're getting to this time of year now where it's, you know, holiday season. It might be the time that you might consider heading off to the Politocrat Daily Podcast store at the-politocrat.myshopify.com. Thank you so very much, dear listener, for your time once again. And I am now going to play this particular audio for you. And you all listen to the Politocrat Daily Podcast. I'm Omar Moore, and I truly appreciate your loyalty and your continued listenership. And please spread the word about the podcast, won't you now? It would be greatly appreciated, and the store itself. But I want to just say, I'm going to set this up for you now. This actually was something that happened yesterday in the House Budget Committee. I believe it's the House Rules Committee. And they were doing a markup on the bill. And that's what happens. These bills go to what's called a markup. And during that time, there are discussions and checks, and not checks as in paying checks, but checks in terms of, okay, here's the itemization of what this money is going to. Let's make sure that when we're looking at this, that we are underlining the provisions of the money, where the certain amount of money is allocated for, what we did with it. Let's converse about it. Let's discuss it. Let's have views on it. And let's make sure that we have this all in line and have our conversations about it. The Republicans are involved. The Democrats are involved. They're all sitting around the table in this budget committee, this rules committee markup that marks up these bills. And this is the Build Back Better agenda bill that I've been talking about, that I played President Biden yesterday on this podcast talking about. And this is how it goes. This is the process. This is how the sauce gets made and the sausage gets made. And now that there has been some kind of accord on this, it goes to the House Rules and Budget Committee. And so the chairperson of that committee is House Member Jim McGovern. Congressman Jim McGovern is a Democratic congressman out of Massachusetts. I think it's the 2nd Congressional District there. He leans more progressive. I think he's a moderate, but I think he's definitely more progressive. In some ways, he leans more that way, I think. But that's not really the point of why I mention him. You're going to hear his voice first here. And he addresses Congresswoman Waters as Miss Waters. Which, you know, I kind of would prefer that he says Congresswoman or Congressman or, you know, Congresswoman Waters or Representative Waters. But, you know, anyway, I don't want to, whatever. But the point is that he says Miss Waters. And I think he says it respectfully, but I'd still think he should have used her title. Okay, that's me making my statement about that. But you will hear him first of all. Then you will hear Representative Maxine Waters. She's talking about Build Back Better, and then she goes into talking about a number of other things. Now, what you didn't hear, in what you don't hear, or what you're not going to hear in this clip, is the Republican who had spoken prior to her. And I believe the Republican who spoke prior to her, well, it was a different Republican than the one you're going to hear. And so, first of all, you will hear Representative Waters reacting to the Republican who you didn't hear talk. I'm not going to give these folks a platform. The only person that you will hear getting a platform on the Republican side is going to be Patrick McHenry, the congressman out of, I think it's North Carolina or South Carolina, one of those two states. I'm pretty sure that it's North Carolina, but I will definitely check that. But you're going to hear from him, and he will have a little back and forth. And it is North Carolina. He's on the same committee, by the way, as Chairperson Waters is, right? She is the chair of the Finances Committee, and he is one of the members of it. I don't know if he's the ranking member of that committee. He may well be. As the Republican, he may be the ranking member, but he's on that committee regardless. And she is the chair of the committee, as I said earlier. And in the theater of your mind, dear listener, the two of them, and you can see this whole video on C-SPAN, you can go search for it if you want to actually see it. They're sitting right next to each other. Keep that in mind. So when you hear this, they are sitting right next to each other in the hearing room, in the Budget Committee, Rules Committee, markup session on the Build Back Better bill. And now I'm going to turn it over to first the chair of the Rules Committee. That would be Jim McGovern out of Massachusetts. And then you're going to hear from the Honorable Congresswoman and Chair of the Finances Committee, Maxine Waters.
Thank you, Ms. Waters. Did you want it to be...
Yes, thank you very much. I wanted to make sure that the record is correct on the amounts that I gave you. We've been negotiating first for $100 million, then for $175 and down to $150. So these numbers may have changed. And if you would allow me, prior to giving you the amounts that I want the record to reflect, you know, I am struck by all of this false talk about bipartisanship. I am absolutely struck in the way that it is hard for me to even explain what it means to try to work with people who have targeted you for being killed. Our Capitol was invaded by those who came to kill us. They looked for Nancy Pelosi. He's criticizing Nancy Pelosi. They looked for her in order to kill her, and they came armed to kill most of us. But they talk bipartisanship. They don't know what bipartisanship is. If they want us to overlook the fact that they don't even support the investigation of those who invaded our Capitol and the members of Congress who worked with them, and they talk about bipartisanship, I want to tell you, I don't appreciate that at all. And I take this opportunity to say it. Now, having said that, I want to correct the record and make sure that the record is absolutely correct on the numbers. $25 billion for vouchers, $65 billion for public housing, $10 billion for the home program, $15 billion for the housing trust fund, $3 billion for CDBG, $2 billion for green housing, $1 billion for the disabled and the elderly, and $700 million for fair housing enforcement and $10 billion for down payment assistance. I just wanted to make sure that the record reflected it correctly.
Thank you very much.
And Mr. Chair?
Ms. Fishbach.
I guess I don't know where all that came from. I didn't hear anyone talking about that, but I do think that potentially Mr. McHenry would want to respond to some of that.
Does Mr. McHenry want to respond?
It's not going to do our colleagues any good. But I'll say this. Last Congress, we did the CARES Act together. We did three dozen bills out of our committee's jurisdiction, bipartisan, that got signed into law, on NDAA, on the Omni, through multiple pieces of legislation. And I've tried to work with my colleague, even when she steps out and does TV interviews and says that you should commit violent acts against Republicans. And I've still been able to legislate with her. And this committee is the best example within Congress of having disagreements, but still being able to have the comedy and the fairness to treat with each other with respect so we can do what the people have asked us to do. I don't appreciate the personal shots. I don't appreciate them in committee, but I know the work here is about legislation, not about petty politics. And that's all I heard is petty politics and personalities that are unbecoming of this body.
Mr. McGovern, I don't want to delay this committee too much.
Well, you've already done it.
But
you've already done it.
I question the patriotism of those who do not want to support
Mr. Chair, 17 violation of the gentlewoman.
If the opposition can accuse us talk about
I know you
speaker.
Didn't win in your policy, but you don't have to take these
please, everybody,
to respond to that.
First of all...
This is your chair. You've made a decision.
This is the Rules Committee. So this is the Rules Committee, right?
Undermine the Speaker and talk about
I appreciate
the
everybody's passion,
of everything else.
But I'm going to ask people to... allow me to say something that hopefully is bipartisan at this moment. Because, look, passions are running high. A lot of things have been said all day today that are, quite frankly, provocative on all sides. And, we've been here since 3 o'clock. And, and I think we've learned a lot from these hearings. I continue to be very proud of what we are attempting to do here. I think it will be transformational. I think we'll make a difference for people in this country. I know there are philosophical differences, and I think there's some values differences as well. But be that as it may, I mean, we are going to work through all of this, and we are going to pass something important for the American people.
There was the truth to power spoken by Representative Maxine Waters there in that clip. This is just from... just yesterday, during the Rules Committee, the House Rules Committee markup of the Build Back Better agenda bill. Now, look, some of the stuff you heard also, I didn't even mention the Congresswoman out of Minnesota, the Republican, I think it's Deborah Fishback, who was talking about, oh, well, we've got to hear from, I don't know what that was. This is the way they talk about us. This is the way she talks about us. I don't know what any of that was. This is Maxine Waters, thank you very much. Representative Waters, one of your colleagues, was speaking. That's what that was. Congresswoman Fishbach. Oh, I don't know what any of that was. See, this is how they talk about us. This is how they talk about us. What do you mean, what any of that was? It was clear and concise. But that's the attitude of these Republicans. That's the attitude of some of these white politicians. They do not think that you belong here. Congresswoman Waters has been in that position as a congresswoman for God knows now, like I said, more than 3 decades. She is more than able and has more than ever held up her role very damn well. And some snot-nosed congressperson coming in here talking about, well, I don't know what all that was. Well, maybe you need to learn to speak the language of English, Congresswoman. Because in Congress, the language spoken is the English language. And in Congress, what I just heard and what you just heard, dear listener, was a Congresswoman speaking English. So I do not know why Congresswoman Fischbach, the Republican out of Minnesota, had a problem with Congresswoman Maxine Waters speaking. This is this garbage. And, you know, again, I keep telling you, the thing is in this Congress and in life, you've got some of these white female congresspersons who are an utter disgrace. And they are the first ones to drag a black woman. The first. I don't care if it's the suffrage movement. I don't care if it's anything. It's usually, you can count on it. There'll be at least one white female congressperson. You can count it on a blooming hand. On 10. Oh, I don't know what that was. The envy, the resentment, the racism. You can always count on it. White males do it too. Some of them in this Congress. You can count on it though. As sure as night comes after day. And as sure as day follows night. And the sun freaking rises in the east and sets in the blooming west. You'll always find someone like Congresswoman Fischbach, well, I don't know what that was. That resentful freaking tone taken against a black woman who has the temerity to stand up as a politician and speak the truth. And all that. I'm telling you, this is what happens in these things. But you see, Congresswoman Waters has much more class, right? She has much more class, and she knows better than to respond to a pissant congressperson talking, well, I don't know what that is, what that was. What do you mean, what that was? That was a human being speaking, Congresswoman Fischbach. For God's sake, man. Or in this case, for God's sake, woman. Yeah, I'm going to be like that because I'm not taking that here. Michelle Fischbach of Minnesota's 7th Congressional District, Republican, one of the people, if I'm not mistaken, who voted against certifying results, voted against the certification of results. I'll go check that. But again, these are the people you've got. And, you know, maybe what Congresswoman Waters said lit a fire under the pants of this congressperson, because I think she was one of the people that Congresswoman Waters was referencing. We're working amongst people who don't want us here, who want to kill us. Now, I don't know if Congresswoman Fischbach was part of that, but I'm pretty sure that she was one of the 147 freaking Republicans who voted against the certified results. We don't want them. We don't want the certified results. We're going to vote against them, stinky. We don't want that. And then to hear the arrogance of her. I forgot that she was in this clip. I don't know what all that was. What the hell are you? Speak with respect. She's a fellow colleague of yours, mate. Absolutely abject. And then McHenry. I'll have a go at him too. Oh, I'm Mr. Calm and Rational. Oh, we worked in committee together. And oh, we I've had disagreements, but, you know, when my colleague here does television interviews, oh, shut up. And who's on TV more often than anybody? It's freaking Republicans. Every freaking Sunday show, the Republican politician can be found plumped and prostrate all over the blooming airwaves, mate. Don't give me that. Oh, she did TV interviews. And nobody will book anybody except Republicans on these bloody stations. Not a friggin' one. There'll be Democrats on there, but it's always the focus is the Republicans. And they know damn well on all these stations, that's why I stopped watching this stuff a long time ago, but you know this still happens, those of you who watch, dear listener, that this is what they do on Sundays here in the United States. Put all these right-wingers and Republicans on. Oh, they do TV interviews. Oh, your ass isn't on TV. Oh, please, shut up. And then the other thing that just is, the other thing about McHenry, another, you know, this guy, white male politician, this is the garbage here and the lies. Oh, well, she said that Republicans should be harmed. We should go out and attack Republicans and kill Republicans. Oh, shut up. You're such a freaking liar, man. And I'm going to put that record straight right here on McHenry, because Patrick McHenry is a piece of garbage and he's lying. Congressman Waters never calls for violence against Republicans, never. And there have been a load of Republicans who, either in the previous administration or in Obama's administration during that time, have called Democratic politicians liars, including calling President Obama a liar, have said things like, oh, we should be doing this and doing that, have endorsed violent comments against Democratic politicians, have said nothing when Ted frickin' Nugent called, basically said he was going to assassinate President Obama. And where were the Republicans then standing up against that? Oh, shut up. I'm fed up with these bloody politicians, these bloody Republicans lying. This is why I don't want to give them platforms here. Oh, I sat down with my colleague and we talked about this and we talked about that, and we sat down and had a cup of tea together. We even smoked a joint. And we shared the pontifications of what's going on, and we even went to an art gallery together and we sung Kumbaya. We sang Kumbaya together. And then Maxine Waters did television interviews. Oh, shut. Let me tell you about the TV interviews. Let me tell you. You want to know what happened? I'm going to read this to you, dear listener, about the lies. I'm going to correct the record right here with truth, which is what Congresswoman Waters has been doing all her life in Congress, speaking truth to power. This is the lies that, this is the garbage, right? The garbage lies coming from Patrick McHenry, the Republican out of North Carolina, in that clip. Here is what actually happened. This is from factcheck.org from April the 20th of this year. These are in the words of Maxine Waters herself, the representative out of Southern California, Los Angeles, Watts, that area of Los Angeles, and all parts elsewhere. This is what she said. This is reported by Robert Farley. This is actually the Congresswoman's words. This is at the time of a demonstration, April 17th of this year, in Minnesota, regarding the impending verdict that was coming regarding Derek Chauvin as he executed George Floyd in 2020. And you know, earlier this year, right, that Derek Chauvin was found guilty on all the charges in April of this year. I talked about it here on this podcast. And of course, he had the subsequent sentencing a few months after that. It might have been June or July of this same year. He was sentenced to, what, 22 and a half years, if I remember correctly. Some of us were not happy with that. We wanted it to be a lot longer. Some people were not happy about it for different reasons. But 22 and a half years for a cop who murdered someone right there in front of all the world. Right? So this is what happened. This is what Patrick McHenry is calling threats by Congressman Waters to Republicans. This is at the demonstration outside of the Brooklyn Center Police Department in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, April 17, 2021. Quote, this is Maxine Waters, the representative, speaking. This is a very difficult time in the history of this country. Despite the fact that we know that people of color have been killed too often, unarmed young men, in particular black men, have been killed. We know that we are now coming to the end of the George Floyd trial. And that, I suppose, the closing arguments are going to be made on that case coming Monday. And we're really just almost at the beginning of what is happening with our young man, Dante Wright, who was killed, and that we have to persist in calling for justice. We have to let people know that we're not going to be satisfied unless we get justice in these cases. And so I just could not sleep. I could not rest. I could not be satisfied about coming here to let the family know, and the friends know, and the people of this community know, and all of those who organize with justice know that I stand with you. And I'm going to stand not only with you, but continue to fight in every way that I can for justice, for justice. We're looking for a guilty verdict. This is what Representative Waters said, because there are reporters asking her what should happen. We're looking for a guilty verdict, she said. We're looking for a guilty verdict, and we're looking to see if all of the talk that took place and has been taking place after they saw what happened to George Floyd, if nothing does not happen, then we know that we've got to not only stay in the street, but we've got to fight for justice. But I am very hopeful, and I hope that we're going to get a verdict that says guilty, guilty, guilty. And if we don't, we cannot go away. And a reporter asked her, and not just manslaughter, right? And then here is what Congressman Waters says. No, oh no, not manslaughter. No, no, no. This is guilty for murder. I don't know whether it's in the first degree, but as far as I'm concerned, it's first degree murder. Now, of course, we know that there was never a charge of first degree murder in the first case, in the first place. The Minnesota Attorney General did not bring that, Keith Ellison, and the previous person, the DA of Hennepin County, Mike, whatever his last name is, he didn't bring it either. And then, of course, he got pushed out of the way because he is a pathetic Hennepin County DA. But that's a whole other story for another podcast episode, dear listener. I want to continue with this because I want to give you context. I believe, dear listener, in giving you context. And I'm going to continue to do that. So then a reporter then asks that if Derek Chauvin is not convicted on all these charges, quote, what should protesters do? That's the reporter asking this. Here's what Congresswoman Waters says in response. To show you how these Republicans just sit there and freaking lie. This is why, one of the reasons why the corporate news media is not something I'm going to watch, because they put liars on all the time and then try to make a false equivalency show out of that somehow there's even a freaking debate in the country when you've got Democratic congresspersons and politicians telling you the truth about what's going on. Oh, let's hear the Republican side of this. There is no freaking other side of the truth, mate. I mean, why put lies on? That's why I stopped watching. Another reason I stopped watching them. Because you want to entertain someone? Who are you entertaining? The billionaire donor? Your advertisers? Because you're not educating anybody when you put lies on the air, mate. You're not doing it. So here I go. And here's what I'm going to say here. Dear listener, I'm going to read the rest of this, right? So this is what Congresswoman Waters said. Again, I'm going to repeat this. Well, we've got to stay on the street. This is in response to the question from a reporter. Well, what should protesters do if Chauvin is not convicted on all the charges? And Congresswoman continues, and we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we mean business. Someone then asked Waters what she thought about the curfew in place that night. Quote, curfew means that I want you all to stop talking. I want you to stop meeting. I want you to stop gathering. I don't agree with that, Waters said. I'm not going to stay out here, Waters said. I came here from Washington just to be here to make sure that I let my voice be heard among all those who have been putting so much time on the street. And I'm so hopeful. So I'm hopeful that the protest will continue. Now, where the hell, Patrick McHenry, in any of that that I've just read out, is there a threat to Republicans, violence against Republicans, threatening to kill? Where is it? See, these people just talk a lot of they just talk a lot of garbage. And it's pure lies, mate. You can't have it. And that's why there are people out here, myself included, who are going to be correcting the record. I did an episode a few days ago about fact-checking. Fact-checking versus fact-checking against lies, right? Which is the more important thing? And I talked about that. And on the one hand, you've got to have fact-checking. And I think I've just done that. And then on the other hand, the fact that we're even having to do this also says that we're in a lot of freaking trouble. But it's necessary because we have to do this. Because if you don't aggressively call out and crush these lies, you're going to be waking up in a world where people are going to continue to tell you that the earth is bloody well flat. And it is not. So I'm telling you, this is what's going on here. Social media is playing a part in this. All this automation is playing a part in it. All this cable news that is all this, there's even a debate. Muddying the freaking waters, putting on people that shouldn't be on the air. This is all part of this kind of gaslighting and both sidesism bullcrap that is putting this country and others in a whole lot of trouble. We've had the truth. Now let's go to the liars over here and ask them what they think. We've had enough of it. We're not having that anymore around here. We've had it. And if you want a better media, and if you want better Congress people, Patrick McHenry, then the people in the state of North Carolina in that district have to want better and stop being fed the lie. If you love the lie and you're seduced by the lie, then that's what you do. But if you think you're better than the lies, then rise up and freaking vote the lies out and vote the liars who tell them out. Representative Maxine Waters speaks the truth. And I don't care how calm Patrick McHenry was in that clip. A whole lot calmer than I. But just because you're calm doesn't mean that you're telling the truth. And just because you're loud and passionate definitely doesn't mean that you're lying. There's lots of Republicans who get loud and they are lying. And they're bombastic and loud and they talk over the Attorney General Merrick Garland in hearings and they scream and shout. Doesn't make them right. And they're Democrats that speak quietly. Doesn't make them wrong. And they're Democrats who shout and are passionate. Doesn't make them wrong. They speak the truth. Representative Waters is an example of that. And I don't care how calm. Oh, I'm above it all. I'm calm and relaxed. And you're a freaking liar. it doesn't mean that because you're calm, I sound so rational and careful. I'm methodically lying the F out of everything. I mean, it's just ridiculous. These Republicans. I don't know what all that was about, Congresswoman Fischbach. I don't know what all that was about. Give me a break. But we've got to give the liar a chance to respond to that. Would you like to respond, Mr. McHenry? Oh, please. Freaking break. It's just garbage. This is why people don't like Congress. This is why the congressional approval rate, and I'm not one to be all about polls because you know I've talked about this a billion times. This is why they're under 10%. Because everything's a blooming theater performance. From the Republicans particularly. I mean, yeah, there's some Democrats that do the same. But this whole thing, you've got Congresswoman Waters telling you it's difficult to work with a party that wants to kill you. AOC has talked about this as well. Cori Bush, Representative Bush, has talked about this as well. Having Marjorie Taylor Greene next to her. She had to move her office. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene is the one who should have moved her office. at the beginning of this year. But no, after what happened, the terrorist attack of this year in the Capitol building, attack on the country, by the way. But of course, you won't hear that anywhere in corporate news media except from the senator out of Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar. I've mentioned Minnesota a number of times in this episode. But again, you know, this is the thing. This is the thing that's going on. You've got these liars in Congress, these Republicans who lie, performing and screaming and lying. And you've got the Democrats out there who are telling the truth. Some of them need to amplify their voices the way that Congresswoman Maxine Waters has done. And I am proud of her. I will continue to support her. And I will continue to sing her praises. She has been a great ambassador for truth and for consciousness in this country. She really has. I mean, there's very few congresspersons who will come out as clearly as she did in that clip and say, you know, we're working with people who want to get rid of us. And they went after Speaker Pelosi, which they did. These terrorists, these people who supported the piece of garbage that was in the White House at the beginning of this calendar year. That terrorist and traitor. And all talking, they were even talking about hanging the vice president at the time, Mike Pence. They wanted to kill Nancy, but I mean, this is not something that's been made up by Congressman Waters. You could hear the shouts. We've heard that. You've seen the video, dear listener, and you've heard the video. And you've heard the voices saying, hang Mike Pence and kill. You've heard it. You've heard all of it. They all shouted that. They had the noose in the, and they had the gallows out there in front of the Capitol building. They had freaking plastic zip ties. They had knives and pipe bombs. I mean, wait a minute. We're going to pretend that didn't happen? And that's what Congresswoman Maxine Waters was talking about. These are people here who actively got in, and she's absolutely right. They actively were involved in this. They were talking to terrorists. I told you this before, Andy Biggs of, I think it was Arizona or New Mexico, where the hell he's from, Nevada, and Paul Gosar, both Republicans in the House right now. Of Arizona, Paul Gosar. And they're still in the House. And no wonder they're against investigating this thing. That's what you heard Maxine Waters say their congresswoman did. Because, you know, they're investigator. They're against having themselves be investigated. I'm telling you. Look, I played the clip because I think it's important to highlight the fact that there are people who care about this country who are absolutely, absolutely going to do everything they can to make it clear that the truth is still valued. Facts are still valued in this place. I mean, that's the only way. It's the only way. That's the reason I play that clip. We can't have lies allowed to be even permeated. And you can sit there quietly and as calmly as you want. And you can still be a stone cold liar. I mean, it doesn't matter the style of which you speak. If truth is coming out of your mouth, truth is coming out of your mouth. I don't care that Republican Patrick McHenry is speaking calmly and quietly. Doesn't mean he's not a stone-cold liar. Representative Maxine Waters stands up for the people. And the reason why she continues to be in Congress is because the people of her constituency recognize this. She stands up for them. And she speaks truth to power. It's as simple as that. All these attacks on her are not because she tells lies. It's because she's telling the truth, and also these people are racists and misogynoirists and misogynists. And they want power. These are the reasons these attacks come against Democratic politicians, and particularly in this case, against the Democratic Congresswoman, Maxine Waters, chair of the Finances Committee. For goodness me, for goodness sakes, this is just absolutely ridiculous. Sit there and lie about Maxine Waters. I just read you right from the transcript that was provided by factcheck.org. You can go on and search. You can search this on YouTube. I believe there's a video there with her talking this, exactly what I just read to you about what Congresswoman Waters said when she was in Minnesota earlier this year. And that guy lied. Oh, well, she threatened violence against people, should go out and... This is such lies. Honestly, it's disgusting. And you sat right next to her, didn't you, McHenry? And you sat there and lied on her right there. And you told lies right to her face about her. Told lies about her right to her face. You're sitting elbow to elbow. If you watch it on C-SPAN, you will see that they're sitting right next to each other. As I said earlier, elbow to elbow. What an absolute disgrace. That's why I really don't like even having Republican voices anywhere on a podcast like this one, particularly this one, because it's just garbage. No one's telling the truth in that party. Nobody. And then the corporate news media makes so-called heroes out of people who supposedly tell the truth. All the focus on these damn Republicans. And look, I've focused a good now, 15 minutes talking about this Patrick McHenry. Absolutely disgraceful he is. But that's the Republican Party in this country. And it's been like this for a long time. I get it. There were bygone days when Republicans weren't like this. But those days are long gone. Long gone. You don't have that anymore. These people now are traitors to the country, and very dangerous to the country. And as I said yesterday or the day before, the corporate news media has to stop treating this like there's some freaking debate. When you got one side telling the truth and the other side lying and wanting to kill congresspeople and kill the Speaker of the House, that's what the other side wants to do, and you're giving them airtime. It's absolutely outrageous. That's why the corporate news media in the United States has committed media malpractice for so long. And I know there's some good journalists in some of these organizations, but I'm sorry, they're not running the place. They're not running these companies that make these decisions to cover the other side. There is no freaking other side. The other side are a bunch of traitors. And it's either you want a country or you want the traitors. You got to figure out which one you want, dear listener. I would hope that you want the country and want to improve the country and change the country and get rid of this blooming system that has us all here going, where are voting rights? Where are women's rights to choose? Where's this? Where's the health care? I hope we'd want to change some of that so that we actually have these things protecting us, so that we have a right to choose, a right to vote, a right to have health care for all. But you know, you got corporate media, they're too busy trying to pay attention to the traitors, because that for them makes good TV and makes advertisers all nice and happy. And that means money. And money means more to these companies than your health, safety, and well-being and the truth. That's where this boils down to. Same thing with the Republican Party. Money and power mean more to them than the truth, than safety, health, well-being, and life itself. Because these people are not pro-lifers, they are pro-death and pro-power. That's all they want, that's all they know. And they are pro-lies. We've got to get busy here, dear listener, because these elections are coming up next year. I know In the next few days, there will be places across the United States that are voting as well, in municipal elections, maybe some state elections, gubernatorial elections coming soon. You've got the Virginia governor's race, very important race. I think that's next week. Yeah, it's Tuesday, November the 2nd. You need to be, listen, folks, we've got to get tuned in here locally, statewide and federal. We've got to get tuned in here in the United States. Because these Republicans are toxic and hazardous to your health and to the health of the United States of America. It's not an exaggeration. These are extremely dangerous people. The people who are in the House of Representatives are literally, on the Republican side, the very people who voted to overthrow the legally elected, lawfully elected President of the United States. They voted against those results of we the people. They voted to overturn that. They voted against those results. Or rather, more accurately, they voted against approving the certification of those results. That Republicans in these states and their Secretary of State's offices had already confirmed and approved and certified. 147 of these Republicans, including McHenry, including Fishbach. Oh, I don't know what that was. Well, I know what it was. It was you being a traitor. And that's why I think she spoke up, because Maxine Waters is not playing with anybody out of here. And the Democratic Party at large needs to adopt her lead. Take her lead and take no prisoners out of here. You have a 2022 election to win. And you have a House to consolidate your numbers in. And a Senate to grow your numbers in. Got to get busy here. You're asking us for all this money. All this donor money. And you need to put some plans in place and do it now. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.